Good morning, everyone. It is great to be here with you on our Youth and Family Sunday service. And it's been, for me, I've really enjoyed this so far, and I just want to thank Bill Burnt, who worked hard to put together our video that we showed earlier. And we have a few more surprises for you coming up, but we're not going to tell you yet. You're just going to have to wait and find out, wait and see. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is TJ Parisi, and I lead the Youth and Family Ministry here in Westchester. And so the theme of our service today is Godly Homes. And we have the privilege of really just allowing some incredible families in our church to be able to share about how God has been working in their home, how God brings their family together. And the first of those families that are going to share is up here. We have Jose Delgado and his mom, Rena. And Jose is one of our teen disciples. And their household is incredible. Rena's just an incredible mother. And it just blows me away is that they are three generations. That's right. Grandma is also a disciple. Followers of Jesus, just passing the faith on from generation to generation. And then after they share, the Toribio family is going to come up. And for those of you who don't know the Toribio family, Tony and Mimi serve in our youth ministry. And they have just poured out their hearts to not just their kids, but to all of our youth. And, you know, they also have three wonderful and crazy children of their own. And so I look forward to being able to hear from them as well. So let's go to God in prayer, and then Jose is going to come up, and he's going to be sharing with us. Jose and Rena. Father, we just praise you for your goodness. Thank you for your vision and your dream to see your faith, to see the goodness that you bestow upon us pass from generation to generation. We know that your dream is for the whole world to come to know you and having families that are a light to the world. I mean, what better bonfire could there be to show your love and to see how people can live together under one roof and yet still serve you and love each other. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, guys. So this is I'm my mom's son, of course, but I'm also my mom's brother as well in Christ. So we wanted to talk about how God is faithfully drawing like families like ours and all of yours to his promise, and it talks about that in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3-8. You can turn there if you want. Starting in verse 3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his own son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding." So now I'm going to let my mom share a little bit of her conversion story, and after that I'm going to share about how that led on to mine.
So God brings families together through conversion. God used his children and my mother to influence my conversion. My mother and I were reached out to by two different ladies at nearly the same time. First, my mother by a friend she had not seen in years. Then me by a stranger at the gym I worked at. Long story short, the two ladies knew each other from the same church, and they were sisters in Christ. That setup of events is what God used to persuade me to go to church. It was that very first midweek service I went to that convicted me. I'll never forget the feeling of being so blown away and amazed because I had found what I had been yearning for. I knew without a doubt that this was God's church. My mother and I are amazed to this day at how God set us up and the impact it has had on our family. As a result of our conversion, my grandmother, who awaits our arrival in heaven, and my eldest son, Jose, became disciples of Jesus Christ. As well, my two aunts and cousins were baptized in the Lord. And I look forward to the day that my youngest son, Nicholas, and my husband can join us in the Lord.
She might get me crying too. Okay, so my story definitely starts a long, long time ago, like all of ours, but more recently it starts with my parents and my grandmother. And it changed my life growing up in like a Christian household from early on. And it's like God's plan works from the beginning. He has a plan for all of us ever since we were young and before that, when he made us in that secret place. And I already see that happening now, a lot of the plan going on. And I often look back and look at the situation now, and I'm like, if things weren't like this, this would have never happened. So what if this never happened? Well, it wouldn't have, because God planned it to be like this, because he has a perfect plan for all of us. So that's where I find a lot of assurance and security in. God's guiding us. He has our hand, and we just have to take it. But a lot of times, he already is carrying us before we take his hand. And I'm glad I took his hand when I got baptized, because it just speeds up the process and his plan for us. Because if you're fighting against the person who's trying to bring you towards the rest of your life and eternity, it's just not going to be as accelerated and perfect as he planned it to be. So I'd urge everybody who's thinking about studying the Bible or who is, to just go for that step and make it work, because it will work. So specifically, my mom and my grandmother remind me of Eunice and Lois. And it's like a perfect parallel story to this. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. You guys could turn there if you want. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So I would like to read that again, but change out the names just to make it, you know, because it is true. So I am reminded of your sincere faith, and I would think that whoever's talking, well, Paul talking about this is all of you guys saying that you're reminded by my sincere faith of my grandmother Alice and my mom Raina, and you are persuaded that it also lives in me now because I got baptized. And you saw, a lot of you have been here since I was a child and in the children's ministry, and you saw me being brought up and, you know, just being a kingdom kid. Even though that doesn't really mean that much, it definitely sets you aside from the rest, but it doesn't really set you aside from sinning and being not right with God. So if you're a kingdom kid, you're not right with God still either way. It looks a little better, and it sets you up a little bit, but at the same time, if you're not doing anything with your position as a kingdom kid, you're kind of just, you know, letting it be like a unfulfilled blessing that God has put on your life. And I would like to close out with one more. So I know a lot of the parents here and a lot of the young parents too, they talk about how they have the same aspirations for their children to become disciples as well. So I'm going to read this real fast. It's in the book of Habakkuk. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. This is a scripture to encourage all of you who are like yearning for God to bless your life in that way. And he will. You just got to wait, and it takes time. And remember, it's their choice. Don't force anything upon them. If they really love Jesus, they'll come to him. Love is not forced. Love is mutual. And sometimes it comes first to one person, like Jesus' love for us. And then we have to reciprocate it now, 2,000 years later. It's the same thing. Thank you.
Good morning, church. As you heard, for those who don't know me, I am Tony Toribio. There's my beautiful wife, Mimi Toribio, and our three beautiful daughters, Charlize, Elena, and Judah Toribio. And right now they're going to share how God builds our home.
Okay. So my older sister, Charlize, she helps build our family by always helping around the house, and she makes me feel loved when she wants to spend time with me. And my younger sister Julia, she helps build our family by always being giving, and she's grateful. And that reminds me of God when she does that. And my parents help build our family by providing food, shelter, clothing, and love. And my parents, they always support me and my sisters, and they always say that we can do anything that we want to do. And that's how everybody in my family reminds me of God. So, yeah.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Charlize Toribio. I am 12 years old. How does God build our family at home? There are many ways that God builds our family at home, but mostly through one person. I just see God. Through my mom. She's just the most supportive, giving, loving person you'll ever meet. I can't even describe, like, she's so amazing. Love you, Mom. And my dad. He's always so patient, and he's always forgiving, and whenever he does something wrong, he just always knows to go back and say sorry, and we always know how to forgive. And I just feel that, God just put that in our hearts. That's how I feel God built our family at home. Thank you.
Julia's feeling a little bit shy, so I'm going to go. Colossians 3:12 reads, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, forgive one another. If anybody has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful." This scripture for me just outlines God's heart and expectation as disciples, and it's just a higher calling. But at the same time, this is the heart of just how our family can be built on. You know, this is what helps us, is a guide for us to teach our girls, just how to be compassionate and how to be kind and how to be patient and how to be gentle with their words, because they need to be taught how. In our household, I feel like we generally love to spend time together. We build memories, we have fun, we love to entertain, and one thing that we're teaching our girls is that being hospitable means that everyone's in it, that we got to make sure that we're okay with each other before, and we resolve anything that needs to be resolved if anybody walks through our door. And one thing that I love about my girls is that they generally love each other, and they like these areas that they're very much alike. They love to do the girl things. They like to do nails. They love to paint, watch shows together. They love to play dress up, but now as they've gotten older, it's not called dress up anymore. It's called a fashion show.
So they do the catwalk, they dress up, you know, and they introduce each other, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. They love to sing. You know, some of us sing better than others. Bands, you know, I'm like, oh, wow. For some of us, it needs some work, but we're working on it. But there's also areas, I feel like, where we're very different, you know, and I like to call when everyone's getting along, especially my girls, like sister heaven, you know, because everything's great, you know. But when those differences come about, you know, we need to help them because it's hard for them to embrace those differences in each other. As a result of that, conflicts arise and this exchange of words, you know, that can be hurtful and the tone rises, you know. And there's disagreements, you know. So us as parents, you know, we got to help them, you know, to process through those emotions, to talk through those feelings, you know, to teach them how to have self-control. But I feel like these are opportunities that can seem negative or sometimes a little bit annoying, but it's an opportunity for God to build us up, you know, to build character, you know, for me as a mom to teach, but also to really listen, you know, to also learn about my kids because they're very different, you know, how Charlize is encouraged is very different from how Elena gets encouraged or how Julia gets encouraged, you know, so it's a time I know for me as a mom, it's easy for me to discipline the behavior, but I like to take things further and just get to their hearts. Oftentimes at this time I pray, God, help me to see what you see in them, because then I'm able to really get in there, you know, and really help them. And what I have found is that I don't see the bad behavior anymore, but I see their need for God. They see their need for God, and I see how much compassion they need and how much grace and forgiveness. And with having three kids, I feel like it's taught me to have very realistic expectations. It's not going to take one talk and that they're going to automatically change. There's things that it's going to be a process. And, you know, I've been a disciple for 24 years. A lot of the things that I've learned has been 24 years in the making. And I'm still learning so much more. You know, I don't got it together. I'm going to say, like, godly parenting is a lot of work. I know there's some of you in this room who are helping me to raise my kids. You know, I don't have all the answers, you know, but I'm very grateful for those of you who are willing to, you know, take my phone calls, you know, and where I can vent and, you know, and just get it together and go back, you know. Having my family, I feel like it's taught me so much about humility, you know, because there's so much to learn, you know. I feel like it keeps me at the foot of the cross. When Tony and I went steady, he gave me a friendship ring, and in it he engraved the scripture, 1 John 4:19, which reads, "We love because he first loved us." You know, and I knew then he was the one. No, I didn't. I didn't. But God made that clear. But I genuinely feel like God has given me Tony and the girls to help me to get to heaven with a deeper understanding and appreciation and love for him. And that's priceless. Thank you.
Amen. You know, I never wore glasses, started wearing glasses last year, so you know I'm getting old. All right, in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And I just want to skip down to just verse 21. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, forgot. You know, it's just been great. You know, my wife and I, we're going to be married for about, 17 years. It's going to be 17 years in August. And throughout that time period, you know, it's been great, but it's also been rocky. You know, we've had our rough times, our issues, you know, that we needed to work with, you know. And through it all, I feel like if it wasn't for God, we never would have gotten through it. You know, there's been a lot of hurt, a lot of disagreements, you know, just a lot of pain sometimes. But when I think about what the scripture says, you know, just to have, you know, reverence for Christ, you know, like it's like having that deep respect and love for God, you know. And over the years, it's also helped us be better parents. I know for me as a father, I mean, I have three girls, and I have no idea sometimes with three girls. I mean, I don't even know how to do their hair. I made up some character, you know, some Jacques the Franck guy to, you know, do their hair. Because I can't even do a ponytail. And they always tell me, Dad, you can't do our hair because, you know, you don't even know how to do a ponytail. But I realized I learned so much from them. You know, I learned so much how to be just, you know, a patient man. You know, a man that you know, will, you know, that sometimes I lose it. You know, sometimes I'm like, man, you know, how do I get through this with these kids, you know? But they really, their example, I believe God put them in my lives just to really help me personally, you know, and just being, you know, a godly man. You know, I'm just encouraged even throughout the years, you know, even with my wife, you know, how loving she is, you know, and how amazing she is. You know, she put up with so much, you know, and I'm just grateful for that. You know, I'm grateful for that. And I feel like her patience and her reverence for God is why we're here right now, you know, because she is a woman who loves God. She's a woman who respects God deeply. And, you know, she's just, you know, forgiven me over and over. And I feel like her example is also applied to our kids. Just hearing them share, you know, just shows me, you know, how God works. You know, and even sometimes I do feel like the imperfect dad. You know, the dad that's like, oh, my goodness, I messed up. You know, I screamed at my kid today. But yet, you know, it's like, God turns it around, you know, when they come up to me and they're like, Dad, are you okay? Dad, I'm, you know, I mean, just concerned for me. So I'm just really grateful for that. I'm just really thankful for that, how God builds our home that way. You know, how they love to serve. I mean, for those of you who know my girls, they just love to do stuff. They just love to just help out. They love to be involved, and you know, and I'm grateful for that. You know, like my wife said, there's men and women here that helped us so much over the years and recently that we are so grateful for. And I'm also grateful for those single women, man, that are in my daughter's lives, because they look up to you guys, and you know who you are, and they love you guys. And we want that for our kids. You know, that's just a great example for our kids. Because the truth is, what's out there is scary nowadays, especially nowadays. You know, one touch of a finger, you know, it can change a whole kid's life with technology nowadays. And I just want to share that I am grateful for that. You know, and that does help build us, build our home in a godly way. Thank you so much. Dear God, just thank you so much for just Christ's sacrifice, God, and for his love. Thank you so much for just giving us the opportunity to share today. And as we take the bread, God, and the juice, God, just remember him, God, and remember the impact that he's done in our lives, Father. We love you. It's in Jesus' praise, things. Amen.